Our scripture lesson today comes from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. While you're looking for that, also I failed to do it, and I want you to remember Diane as she travels to Pittsburgh to see the family up there and the granddaughters. Keep her safe in your thoughts as she travels back and forth. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And it was just before Passover, and Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that, and had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you that you should do it as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those who I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture: he who shares my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." Jesus Christ laying out a very clear-cut directive. Let us seek him in prayer. Father, we thank you for the words that will be spoken. They come from you, not from me. We set aside our labors, our thoughts, our grudges, our inner struggles just for this moment. And we bask in your presence. Let the Holy Spirit dwell within us. Let these words be fulfilled. Let them strengthen and come back to you even fuller. That we know who we are, we know who we belong to, and we know where we stand. Always with you, Father, through Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, all his children said, Amen. Now let me tell you, I'm a pretty big fan of science fiction, to a point. I love certain things. Whenever I see programs come on about what if, I always get caught up in them. And I firmly believe that the things that really rev me up are those shows where you go back in time. Time travel. H.G. Wells, The Time Machine. I mean, all of that's great stuff. And I have often dreamed of time travel. And I think we pretty much all know why. I would love to be able to go back and see the planes as they should be. A big wood-burning high-wheeler pounding across the prairie. I'd like to go back about 110 years just to see them big locomotives. Or I maybe would like to go back a little bit further
Maybe go back and see Henry Ford as he sets up and starts building the great and wonderful Model T. But I like those programs that put you in the moment. There used to be a show on TV when I was a kid called Voyagers. And I would dare say, nary a single person in here remembers that program, do you? I don't see one person go, do you remember that show? It was very short-lived. It was a great show. And it was always about these two guys, one big guy and one little guy. The little guy was a younger guy. And they carried this thing in their hand. It looked like an overblown pocket watch. And they flipped that thing open, and that thing would take them to where they had to be. And it was always acting up. And they always got into trouble wherever they went. But they got to see the greatest things. Every year, this time of year, we get caught in time travel. There's programs on the radio where you're in that moment. And it's a teaching moment. I listen to them things, and I think to myself, why don't we have time travel? But it really starts me wondering, what if, how if, why? Let's stop for a moment. I want to take you back in time. I've said if I would travel, I would see so many things. Like today, for example, let me see if I can do my best impression. Consider, if you will, Paul Leatherman, avid pastor, wonderful reader, great time traveler. Today, Paul simply wants to find himself in the great steam locomotive yards of yesteryear. But as he steps out of the fog and stands on a hill looking at a city, he's about to find himself in the Twilight Zone. That's pretty good, wasn't it? But you're with me. That was pretty good. You know, I worked on that. Somebody say amen. I love the Twilight Zone. We're standing on a hill. A dirty road beside us. A dirty old nasty road. Standing on a hill. And the first thing that we take notice of is a pretty big old city just down over the hill from us. It doesn't take long till we figure out we're looking down on Jerusalem. We're looking at this city that's there. There's a lot of commotion. As a matter of fact, the place is so loud, you can hear it from where you're at. I have never been to the holy city yet. Bud has, and I'm often quizzing him. I don't know if anybody else in here ever has. Shirley, did you go also? My understanding is that Jerusalem is a crazy place. It is 100% loud. It's just go, 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 and it's very vibrant. And so we're standing here looking at that, and we're pondering, how did we get here? And suddenly there's commotion coming up the road in front of us, and we look, and two men are leading a colt. What's a colt? Anybody in here think a colt is a horse? You're wrong. A colt is what? Not a baby horse.
Baby donkey?
Baby donkey.
Yes.
They called them colts. Not, hey, you little donkey. Or my favorite thing, hey, you little hard-headed mule. They were colts. Why did they call them colts? It's important to understand that Jesus Christ was about to sit on an animal that had never been sat on before. Pure. Unbroken. We see two men leading this colt, and suddenly, now look at it with me. You're standing on a hill, dirty road. You're standing here dressed in your Sunday best because we just left church to go on this journey. I bet you wish you'd dress better, don't you? And it's hot, but we're smart because us men are wearing shoes, not sandals or Crocs. And we're standing there, and here comes the colt, and suddenly, without warning, we turn and look, and there beside of us stands Jesus Christ. I sit in that moment thinking about it. And we are watching because we know what's coming. Luke chapter 19. We're watching as Jesus stares off to his end. In the 29th verse it says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead.
going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead found it as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it," and they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the coat on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, and when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." Jesus knows what's coming. He's heading toward it. He knows. Friday, I had to get a shot in my knee because it's killing me. I had to go get my second cortisone shot. It's been bothering me for a long time. I've been putting it off, not because I'm afraid of needles. I don't care about any of that stuff. But I know it's coming. And so, me being daddy, wanted to show my boys how tough I was, I took them with me. I said, "You're going to go in there and watch me get this shot." "Oh, no, we're not." "Oh, yes, you are. And we're going to go in there and I'm going to show you how strong your father is." And when the lady was there, she's a very nice lady, she pulled the needle out. My two boys turned a little white. And they said, "Is that thing going in your knee?" I said, "All of it." And I knew what was coming, and I knew it was going to hurt. Because if you say it doesn't, you're a liar. And she poked me in the knee and started squirting that thing in there. I was on one side going, "Good, good." But the other side, manly, going, "See that, boys? See your father? Oh, man." Jesus Christ knew what was coming. And now we're standing there and we become excited because do you want him to suffer that? I mean, you know he's got to, but truly you love the Lord. You know what's coming. And you say to him, "Don't go, Jesus, please. I'll behave." And Jesus takes each one of us in that moment, wraps his arms around us and says, "It's okay. I have to go. I love you, but I got this." And he gets on the colt and he leaves. And you're left there crying. That's Palm Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday when I was a kid, and a lot of you probably the same way, meant you got palm leaves handed to you after you were going out of church. Nobody was ever dumb enough to give the kids the palms as they were coming in church in time for service because you all know what children would do. I never participated in those kind of hijinks. I didn't get struck for that one. You know what happened on Palm Sunday? You got those big wide leaves and you waved them around. And some clever people tie them into crosses so the kids can't get in trouble. What do? You untie the thing. You got a big long leaf. And you got in the car and you're back and back and back and back and forth. And then somebody inevitably hits dad while he's driving. The car comes aside the road. And what happens? You don't have palm leaves anymore. Palm Sunday is about remembering Jesus Christ going fully to his death. You see, what he's saying there in that scripture, "Oh, Jerusalem, had you known," they're looking for a king. They're looking for somebody to ride in and smite and just thunder and carry on. And that's not what's about to happen. And Jesus says to them, "If you had known what would bring you peace, even now you would be saved. But you don't get it. But I love you anyway." And so he continues on. And so do we. Here we are learning his fate
along with pretty much ours as well. The prophet writer starts off in the 7th verse of Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not even open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet he wrapped himself around you. I know. I know. We sent him away. Can you see that scene right now? As he walks away, as the colt rides away with him being taken away, and you hear everybody getting carried away, and here you are, time traveler from the year 2016. You're standing there trying to tell him, you don't have to, I get it. And he goes anyways. That's our Jesus Christ. That's Palm Sunday. That's what we celebrate today. Let us move a little bit forward. You know, if I was a smarter preacher, I'd mark a few things once in a while, wouldn't I? Matthew 21. If you care to follow along. During this time, we now get to be with Jesus while he speaks about something, while he's in the city. In the 28th verse, he tells the parable of the two sons. He says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first one and said, son, go today and work in the vineyard. I will not, answered the son. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of the righteous, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Even though Jesus knows he's coming in, even though he has given undying love, even though he has taught everything, he knows that as he has rode into town, the clock is ticking. His time is coming. He wants us to understand it's not too late to turn around and go back. It's not too late to let him wrap himself around you and save you ever. It's not too late. In a little while, we're going to share a love feast. Now, there are people who are like, what in the world is that? Now, I put all this in because the story I see being told is a story about rewards. I can see that after we spurned him, then we find our way back to him and we get wrapped around. And that is what we remind ourselves today in love feast, today in the foot washing service. We remind ourselves that there are those who stand the pain, period, because we needed it. Isaiah, back to Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter, in the 10th verse, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils among the strong. What that is saying is that in your sacrifice comes that reward. We come today to remind ourselves of a sacrifice so greatly given for that reward. In Love Feast today, we will do in remembrance. Because why? Let's go back to Scripture. Because Jesus said to. You want to see evidence of something? This is our love feast apron. Go back to John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. And Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from that meal, took off his outer coat, clothing, and wrapped himself in a towel about his waist. Wrapped around. Do you understand what he did? The King of Kings. The name above all names. The greatest and most glorious Jesus Christ did this. He put this. He wrapped it around. And then, he knelt before you. He said, come here. I'll wash your feet. What's the scripture say? It says he washed them and then dried them with the towel wrapped around his waist. Do you know what that means? That means that the greatest servant in the world taught you the servant's heart and showed you the fullest extent of his love by washing the lowest part of your body, by lifting up and washing the feet. Jesus Christ wrapped his love around you by doing this simple moment. I wish each and every one of you would just march downstairs today as we go down there. And do this. And maybe one day you will. Maybe one day you'll say, I want to try that. But I want you to see the image of what wrapped around is. I want you to see the image of Jesus Christ's love. It was wrapped right around his waist as he washed the feet of 12 men. Right there. And said, I love you. I serve you. I have now taught you. Now you serve. We're still watching that from our time machine. We still get to see that love. What did he finally say? He said, do you understand what I have just done for you? He asked him. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I have wrapped around you with my love. And now I ask you to do it to one another. And when I think about what it means coming up, I start getting pretty wound up. I've told everybody that my greatest time of year is yet to come. That's Easter Sunday. I start getting excited about it. But the first thing we have to do is be a little bit guilty, brothers and sisters. Because we took him there. And he said, that's all right. I will wrap around you with my love. I will give you a place to go to. Your belief in me gives you a reward in heaven. It's okay. I'll take care of this. And down over that hill, he went. Say amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're awestruck by what one man did, by what is yet to come. For the next few days, he will be celebrated, he will be loved on, and then he will be turned against. And we did it. And yet his love is wrapped around us at every fiber of our being. I pray, Father, that the brothers and sisters here be mended to that fact. Be lifted up and be shown that. That regardless of what we've done wrong, we come back, He will wrap around us and hold on to us forever. That as we stand watching Him get ready to go down to Jerusalem, He goes willingly, wantingly. Father, later on today, we will remember what He did in the hours before He was taken. Pray the blessing upon that celebration, Father. But for right now, strengthen each one of us to remind ourselves that Jesus wraps Himself around us every moment of every day from now until forever. In Jesus' name we thank You, sir. Amen.
Amen.